Okay, please turn your Bibles to Psalms, beginning with, please, Psalms 19. This is a hard message to put together because, you know, sometimes you're putting together something and, you know, the Lord's still working on you in that area. And that's the kind of message it is tonight for me. Psalms 19. Psalms 19 and verse 7. It says, as the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then just going on to verse 10, where it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And that's sweet. That's like a nugget of the Word of God. You know, sometimes in Scripture, we get so familiar with Scripture, and we don't see it like we... You remember when you first read your Bible, and the thing became alive to you? That's where we need to get back to again. Go to Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah, just after Isaiah 29. Sometimes, with familiarity, the promises of God lose their impact. And I just want to get this back to in focus again, that each promise here is true back in those days, and it's true today as well. You know, every problem that you face is a heart problem. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's read just Jeremiah 29 first. Jeremiah 29, I just want to read one verse here, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 14 as well. And I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. You know, the thing about the Word of God is, it's true. You know, the author of this book cannot lie. You cannot lie. And when you read a promise from the Word of God like that, you're reading a promise that is true. It's absolutely true, 100%. But the condition of that promise, it says, with all your heart. You know, there's many types of Christians in this world. There's Christians who barely get by in their Christian life. They live a shallow Christian life. You know that scripture where it says in Matthew 11:28, where it says, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They're Christians, and they know of that scripture, but they don't really believe in it. Because if we really believed in it, we would believe the promises of this book. Amen. Now, every problem is a heart problem. Go to Mark chapter 7. Every problem you face is a heart problem. It begins with the heart. Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and verse 21 and 22. And from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. It comes from the heart, amen? And that's the problem. Every problem you face, I don't care how you see it, is a heart problem. If you have problems with your kids, it's a heart problem. If you have problem with family, it's a heart problem. And God wants you to understand, it's not your kids that are at fault, it's you that is at fault. Amen? That's just the truth of it. Your kids are a reflection of you. They reflect you. And you know, you get to look at your kids and you see them. They take after you. They reflect you. And what happens at times is we blame our kids. We blame our wife. We blame our family. But we don't blame ourselves. Amen? Every problem you face is a heart problem. But I'm thankful that God is bigger than any situation. The problem at times, though, is when our hearts, when we don't believe. Go to Psalm 78. I'm just looking at this from different angles. Go to Psalms 78. You know, God was so good to the children of Israel from Egypt all the way to the promised land. So good. In fact, their shoes never wore out. In fact, he gave them manna. He gave them food. He provided everything, even quail. He provided everything. But when they were put to the test, it says here in Psalm 78 that they just go read verse 40. It says, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? They grieved him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." That's exactly what they did. They tempted, and it says in verse 41 it says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." We put God in a box, amen, and we don't allow God to work in our circumstances because unbelief creeps in there. That's just another angle I want to look at. And then I want to look at also the fact that God is no respecter of persons. Go to Psalms chapter 14, please. Psalms 14. I'm probably confusing you here, but in my head it makes sense. Probably makes no sense to you. Psalms 14. The Bible says this in Psalms 14. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. For they are corrupt. They have done abominable work. There is none that doeth good." And then I like verse 2. "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Now go down to verse 5. It says, "There were they in great fear, for God is the generation of the righteous." God is looking down and seeing if there's any that does right. Amen? So what I want you to see here is God is no respecter of persons. Just like this promise is given to Israel, it's given to us today. The only promise that's not given to us today is the land promise. You can't claim the land promise. But as regards to all the promises of the Old Testament, they are true, and they're true to Israel back in those days, and they're true to you and us today. Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. It says this in verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." God's looking for a clean heart. He's not looking for greatness. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for a clean heart. Amen. And we have to be able to understand that that's what he's looking for. It's just a clean heart before him. And I also want to look at the basis of the promise. Back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29 again. Jeremiah 29 again. We looked at this verse already, and we said God cannot lie. He promises that he is the faithful one. He cannot lie. It says that in Titus 1:2. And actually, I want to go to Psalms 138, please. Psalms 138. Psalms 138, verse 2. David says this, "I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." His name is Jehovah. He's the promise keeper. You can't get a higher name than that. But he's put his word above his name, amen? We need to realize that when we're reading a book, and we're reading a book that is a living book, amen, and it's full of promises. You could just take one promise of that book and hold to that promise. And when the storms of life come, you could hold to that promise. The Bible says that if you should seek him with all your heart, he will be found. Amen? He will be found. There's a basis of the promise. I want to see the condition of the promises. Go back to Jeremiah again, 29. Jeremiah 29. I'm glad for every promise in this book. Amen? I couldn't imagine a Bible without Jeremiah 29:13. Couldn't imagine it, because that's part of the armor of God that helps me where I walk my Christian life. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Verse 14, actually. And it says in verse 14, "And I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, said the Lord, and will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to carry away captive." There's a condition to this promise. It says, "With all your heart," and he will turn away your captivity. You know, it says there, I think in Hosea, he says, he will restore the days that the locust has eaten. Amen. He will restore that day. You know, you think of your unsaved life, you did some foolish things like I did, and like everybody in this room did, because we were controlled by the prince of the power of the air, by the devil, and we didn't realize, but he would say jump, and we would say how high. That's just where the devil was. We were completely in control. But once we got saved, trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were made free, amen, made free by the blood, precious, precious blood. And he saved us. And the thing that we need to look at today is that there's a wonderful promise in this book for those who believe it. Just take one nugget of the Word of God, just one nugget, meditate upon it, read it, and believe it with all thine heart. And you know, the Bible says God will be found. And that's the key to the Christian life. You know, I was thinking of prayer life recently. You know, all the preaching in the world is no good unless we have a prayer life that's solid. Amen. We have a still time where we can just get along with God, and we can know that we're communicating with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There needs to be that connection between us and Him. Amen. It's missing so many times in Christian life. And we find ourselves trying to struggle to get by the day. And we see our problems as defeats. And we see just that struggle just to get through the day. And we forget that we've left God behind. You know, sometimes funny things happen to me at times. Funny times, like I remember I was sitting in the car and we try to pray when we leave, you know, to go places, pray for safety. But I actually prayed for food. I said, Father, please bless this food to my body in Jesus' name. And the thing I want you to say is sometimes we can pray in a very automatic mode. We can get used to praying, and we can develop a very shallow Christian life. And that's what I found in my life. You know, if I can live in this flesh and counterfeit the Spirit of God, I will do it. Do you hear me? If you will get by, it might be a struggle, but if you can get by in your flesh and try to please your family and please those around you in your flesh, you will do it, because that's where you're made. But man, it's such a struggle, because you'll find yourself defeated. You'll find yourself where you're just weak, and then you realize that, you know, you've left the Lord behind. And that happens many times in our Christian life. I want to see the reward here for the promise. He says, He will hearken unto you, verse 12. And he says, He will be found to you, and He will turn away your captivity. Amen. The promise is here to the Jews, but it's also to those that have a hungry heart. I wonder, how hungry are we for God today? Amen. How hungry are we for God? You know, it says, if we were really hungry for God, if we were really hungry, maybe you'll just go to Proverbs 27. You know, it's not the preaching that's the problem. It's the listening ear. Turn to Proverbs, Psalms, and then we'll go to Proverbs 27. Just take this verse in, Proverbs 27 and verse 7. The full soul loadeth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Man, just, if really, really, really are hungry for God, just to open God's words and just to read it. A lot of times, there's hard hearts, and the preaching goes forth, and it has no effect on the heart, because there's not a softness there. At times, we have to just check ourselves. Are we really trying to just listen with attentive ears and just with a softness of heart? God says He will be found if you seek Him with all your heart. Amen. Just a hunger to know Him, a hunger to feed from His words, a hunger for righteousness, personal righteousness. I know there's Christ's righteousness, but there's also a personal righteousness that I need if I'm to get by my day. You know, the Bible says that just to do right in every circumstance is well-pleasing to Him. Sometimes it's a struggle. You know, I was thinking what's probably the greatest struggle in our life. Go to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. One of the greatest struggles we have in our life. one probably of the greatest sacrifices we have is not a sacrifice with money or things like that. It's, let me show you Titus chapter 2 in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, it says this: teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You put that verse and you look at that verse, that's a hard thing to do in this day and age. You think of being honest. We're looking at honesty next Wednesday. I mean, who can go a 24-hour period or a whole week speaking the truth 100% of the time? That's hard. I mean, it's just hard just to when you look at yourself and you let God's spotlight to shine on your heart, just to examine yourself in areas of honesty, just to be of soberly, righteously, and godly in this present. Well, that's hard. It's just hard just to live righteously in this world. But it's possible, amen. It's possible when you seek Him with all your heart, amen. With all your heart. You know, a lot of times in our Christian life, we settle for second best. We try to do it in our own power. And then when a trial comes, when our faith is tested, the Bible says, if thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. And sometimes that's the Lord just exposes us, our weaknesses, and we fall short of Him. I just want to pray and ask the Lord to help us here. Please, Lord, help me. Please help every soul in this room. I pray if there's one soul, Lord, that doesn't know You as Savior, oh God, oh, open Yourself up to them tonight. I pray You'd show them from the foolishness of preaching to change them that believe. And also for those who may not know You, Lord, please help. Please give me liberty. Oh God, I ask this in Jesus' lovely, conquering, wonderful name. Amen. Go back to Jeremiah again, please. Jeremiah. The context of Jeremiah is dealing with Israel has sinned, as usual. Just like it is for us today, there's a sinful problem in our hearts, and no matter how you try to color it, it always leads us into problems. Go back, Jeremiah chapter 29. Israel here has sinned. Basically, let me just go. Actually, you could just go to Jeremiah chapter 2 very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewned them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. They left the Lord, man. They just left the Lord, and they created false gods. And that is still happening today. And they go into 70 years of captivity. Jeremiah predicts it and he tells of it, and later Daniel is looking back at Jeremiah 25 and he says the 70 years is going to end one day, and he says after this, he says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Amen. It is a promise to Israel in those days, and just like we are that wild olive branch drafted in, it is a promise to us today. Amen. Jeremiah 29 now, please. Jeremiah 29. I want to talk about seeking the Lord tonight with all your heart. Seeking Him and actually finding Him. You know, sometimes we pray and we get so used to praying. We get so used to praying. And sometimes you have to be careful because you'll pray and you'll go through your list of prayers, but your heart is not fully 100% in it. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt you've just gone through your prayers or you're praying and sometimes something comes into your mind and you think of that and then you go back to your prayer? You're talking to the King of Kings, amen. And we have this prayer life where we settle for second best. And I just want to say, prayer, in order to pray, in order to seek the Lord, you're going to have to seek Him in faith, amen. Seek Him in faith. Sometimes you're praying and man, you feel carnal. I mean, you don't even have to go out and get involved in some sin. You just sometimes the flesh gets carnal. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. It brings forth death. And you have to be able to go, okay, Lord, but I'm praying to you. I'm coming to you by the blood. And it's going to take faith. Amen. Just go to Hebrews chapter 11. If you could want to hold your place there, I would appreciate it. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, faith is trusting God to the degree where we obey him. Amen. That's where you know you have faith. When you obey his words, then you have faith. Amen. But Hebrews chapter 11, I just want to read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He wants you to seek him. Amen. And he wants to reward you. You know, it's like our kids. Our kids do something right. You want to reward them. You put a reward there for them. And God is the same way. He says, if you seek him with all your heart, you seek him by faith, he will reward you. Amen. He will reward you. Faith is believing that he holds tomorrow. You know, Psalms 30 verse 5 says, it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When you're in the midst of a trial, you're in the midst of a situation, and you think it's when it's dark, you're in a valley, it's just dark. Know that tomorrow is coming. And he holds tomorrow, amen. Faith is believing that he hears our cry. Go to Exodus chapter 2, please. Exodus chapter 2. The children of Israel are in Egypt. It's hard. They are working long, long hours. And to put it all, put the situation in context, Moses comes along and he makes it even harder for them. Exodus chapter 2 and verses 23. I like this. And this is a promise that you can hold to. Exodus 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Verse 4 of 24. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God hears a cry, amen. God hears the sincere cry of your heart. I remember the first prayer I ever prayed, the first real prayer I ever prayed. I couldn't think of anything to say, so I said, God help. God heard that cry, amen. He heard that cry. Just like he hears the cry of any person who is really sincere with him. But sometimes we forget and we try to counterfeit what we were never meant to counterfeit, amen. Faith is knowing that. Is not knowing where you're going. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 8, it says Abram went out and he didn't even know where he was going. That's what faith is. You know, it says in Genesis 22, it says Abraham, when he was tested by the Lord and he had to take Isaac to Mount Moriah, he says he didn't even know where he was going. He knew it was one of those mountains out there, but he just went that direction. That's what faith is. God sometimes doesn't show exactly what he wants you to do, but he gives you a general direction. Amen. He gives you a general direction. Faith is believing God through the trial. Go to Job chapter 23, please. Job 23. Faith is believing God through the trial. How much we need this. When it gets dark, when the valley gets deep, we need to understand that it's going to finish one day. Amen? And sometimes trials can go on 6 months, a year, 2 or 3 years, even a lifetime. But just realize there is an end. There is an end. And keep that end in focus. Go to Job chapter 23, verse 8. I love the scripture. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Amen. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot had held his step. His way have I kept and not declined. I love verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. We need that today. Amen. Where we value the promises, the nuggets of God's word in that degree. Amen. Faith is seeing him who's invisible. Go to Hebrews 11, please. Faith is seeing him who is invisible. You know, when you're in a a dark, dark day, as I'll put it, you kind of get your eyes off of the Lord because your eyes go on the circumstances. And we need to be careful that even in the darkest days, Jesus is right beside us, amen. He draws nigh when you're in your deepest of trials. He is right beside you. In fact, he's carrying you. You just don't realize it. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter. You know, I often wonder. Some people, you see them go through trials, man, in deep, you know, family situations. Or maybe their kids have a terminal disease or something. And you wonder what's keeping them up. Well, it's the Lord, amen. It's the Lord. God extends more grace to them that need it. Hebrews 11, verse 27. And it says here how Moses did it. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Amen. He saw him who was invisible. He just saw the Lord in that circumstance, and he just kept his eyes on the Lord. Amen. We need to see him who's invisible. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John chapter 5 says that faith is that one thing that we can put in our hearts and minds that gives us the victory that overcomes the world. Now, you know, let me say this. You know, you don't need great faith. Are you listening? You don't need great faith. Let me just read the statement to you. You don't need great faith to please God. You just need to believe him with what faith you have. Did you get that? You just need to believe him with what faith you have. You know, if I was to say, if I was weightlifting, and if I was to lift 100 pounds, could I lift 100 pounds? Barely maybe. But if I was to lift 250 pounds, man, I probably wouldn't be able to get that up first here. But this in context of faith, if I increased 100 pounds, 105 pounds, and I kept lifting 105 pounds, and then I went and I lifted 110, 115, and I built myself up, just like people in the gym do, and then eventually I'd be able to lift 250 pounds. That's the way faith is. Let me show you a verse that talks about that. Go to Luke 17. You don't need to have great faith. You just need to believe God with all of your heart in the faith he's given you. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. Let me just read it. And if he... Actually, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Notice Jesus' response here. He doesn't say, well, you're just going to have great faith. He says in verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto a sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You don't need great faith. Just believe God with the faith you have. And God will grow that faith. Amen? This is the way the Lord works. But when you obey him from the heart and you just believe him, you know, I was thinking this. Before I got saved, I wasn't fully sure that Jesus died on the cross. I was thinking of that. But I had just a little bit of faith from my Catholic upbringing. A little bit of faith that I put all my heart in that. And God saved me, amen. It was simple as that. It takes a little bit of faith. It takes all of your heart involved, though, amen. So just realize, you know, faith coming by hearing by the word of God. You need the word, amen. Just go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I remember Jim's baptism. And he said something, and it stuck in my mind. He said, I have an insatiable hunger for the word of God. Now, Jim, you didn't realize I retained that, did you? But he said that. And you know, that convicted my heart. Insatiable hunger for the word of God. And this is just a baby Christian, if you don't mind me saying that, Jim, saying that. And it put a hunger in my heart. Amen. Go to 1 Peter. You know, you're not going to grow. And this is very, very simple, yet it's very, very profound. A lot of Christians don't realize this fully. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, amen. You cannot grow without the Word, amen. You just cannot do it. You can get all, you know, you can get all the health books or get all the Christian stuff out there, but you cannot grow without the Word. It's a living Word, and you grow as you read it, and as you believe it, and as you study it, amen. You just grow. It's just something inside of you changes, amen. It does the impossible in a hard heart. You need church, amen. Just remember, this is the church that Jesus died for. He paid with this church with His blood. It wasn't a man's blood that was spilled for you. It was God's blood, amen. You just need to realize that. And also, I want to talk about time to be alone with God and be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Be a doer of the words. You know, there's so many Christians that read God's words, and just like a forgetful hearer, they hear it, and yet they do their own thing. it's kind of a wasted exercise. Seek Him in faith. You know, sometimes we cry out to Him. Sometimes we cry out to Him, and it's like our prayer only reaches the ceiling. Have you ever been like that? I've been like that, where I've gotten on my knees, I spent some time alone with the Lord, and it feels that's only just reached the ceiling. But you know what? If you stay there, and just a little bit of faith develops in your mind, it says, God, you know what a good prayer to pray is when you can't pray? Lord, help me to pray. Amen? And God begins to show up. And then, you know what? You don't really want to even leave. You want to stay there because the presence of God shows up. Amen? And that's what real prayer is. Prayer is not feelings. Amen? You don't seek Him with your feelings. You seek Him by faith. Amen? Too many Christians get along with God, and the devil throws some doubt in there, and they don't feel like praying, and then they get up and they leave that place of prayer. We need to be able to seek Him with all our heart, not by feelings, but by faith, amen. Let me say secondly, seek Him in His presence. Seek Him in His presence. You know, sometimes we get down on our knees and we want to ask God for stuff. Nothing wrong with that. The Bible says seek, knock, the door shall be open, and seek and you shall find. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I was thinking of this with my kids. You know, sometimes your kids come to you and they say, Daddy, I want this, and Daddy, I want that. And, you know, you give them their stuff. You say, okay, or go ask Mommy or whatever. But I was thinking of this. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if your kids just wanted you? Daddy, can I have you for company? You know, they just wanted you. Wow, that would be profound. But it's the same way with God. Sometimes, you know, as Baptists, we come before God and we want different requests. We want different things answered. And there's burdens in our heart. We need to do that. But sometimes it's just nice to get alone with God and just spend some time with Him. Amen. Just spend some time with Him. Seek His presence. Amen. Just go to Exodus chapter 32. Seek Him in His presence. Exodus 32. This to me is life changing. Because, you know, let me just share in Exodus 32. Exodus 32 is all about Moses goes up the mountain. They make a golden calf. And Moses comes back down the mountain. And he hears all this fun going on. And he goes, what's going on here? And they realize Aaron has made a calf. And they've gone into worshiping an idol. And God's heart is grieved. Moses' heart is grieved. But in Exodus 33 then, it's talking about God communing with he calls him his friend in verse 9. Look at Exodus 33 verse 9. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, a cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. I like that. The Lord talked with Moses. And notice, in this interaction, I believe Moses forgot all about his problems. Because he just got along with God, began to talk with God. I believe Exodus 32 wasn't so important anymore. Because then in Exodus 33, it says in verse 14, and he says, and he said, my presence shall go before thee, and I will give thee rest. I believe that was more important than all the other problems. Because when you get alone with God, God is able to just show you that he is the one that's important. Amen. He's the one important. And then it goes on and it talks about the cleft of the rock in the end of that chapter. And I just want to share with you the fact that God, when we seek God, we need to seek him in his presence. Amen. Seek him in his very presence. You know, that presence is divine. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, please. Second Peter chapter 2. I love this verse. I love a lot of verses. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Yeah. Just trying to confuse you, that's all. But just realize that you're getting alone with the divine one. Amen. His divine presence. Man. You know, the Bible says that man, even in his best state, is altogether vanity. I hate to think of us in our worst state. It says in Job, it says in Job 15:16, it says, how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? We like to look at ourselves good, as best we can. But when the Bible puts it, it says, the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the divine nature wants to draw close to me. In fact, he wants to live in my heart. That is incredible. He is the divine one, amen. There's just a sense that when you get alone with God, there's a divine, just a sense of the still small voice, and there's a sense of just being in the presence of the Almighty God. That's something we don't seek as much as our prayer lists. And let me say as well, it is holy. You know, how you ever? Let me just go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. And this is the story where Moses encounters the burning bush. And in verse 5 it says, and he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The thing I want you to understand is God is holy, and wherever he goes is holy, and when you meet him in the closet, that closet becomes holy, amen. He's holy, amen. And let me also say, it is life-changing. Go to Genesis 32. You know, more can be accomplished in getting alone with God than all the sermons that it has ever preached to you. You know, in the story of Jacob, you see Jacob as a deceiver, you see him as a supplanter, you see him right throughout his life where he deceives his brother and so forth. But when Jacob gets alone with God, that's where the change takes place. That's where the change takes place. Exodus 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, this is a picture of where we need to be in our prayer life, where we want and desire, we hunger for the very presence of God, amen. And we're not going to leave the closet until God shows up, amen. That's where we need to be, where God draws nigh to us, because there's a hunger there, amen. Most times we get alone with God and we're happy with a prayer there, and so forth, just a few minutes there, and so forth like that, and we're not interested in just a real encounter with God. And if you get alone with God, it's going to change you, amen. And I was thinking of this. You know, it's good to pray publicly. It's good to pray with your family. It's good to pray with your kids. Good to pray with your wife. But it's not going to change you unless you get alone with God. Amen. Because I was thinking of this. You know, if I'm praying in a certain way publicly, and I have no prayer life in my closet, if I have no prayer life in my closet, then I'm being a hypocrite. Amen. Do you understand? I'm being a hypocrite because I'm praying to the people, not to God's. I need to have a prayer life in my closet as well as publicly, amen. There needs to be a time where I get alone with God and I stay there until God's presence showed up. That will change your life, amen. Just one encounter will change your life. And it says here in verse 26, and he said, let me go for the day breaketh. Jacob has been praying all night, amen. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, amen. The thing I want you to know here is Jacob is not settled, is not content with a prayer or just some quick prayer. He wants to get the blessing of God upon his life, amen. And I think we as Christians, we don't hunger for God enough because we think that a prayer, we just appease them with a prayer. And sometimes you have to check your motive. Sometimes they're fleshly prayers, amen. Just spend time alone with him. And let me say thirdly, I need to hurry up here. Thirdly, seek him in truth. Go to Psalms 15, please. Psalms 15. You know, when God invades your heart, he begins to search you, amen. And we don't like that. Because God kind of gets a spotlight and shines it in the areas that we don't like him to shine it on. Amen. And it says in Psalms 15, verse 2, it says, he that walketh uprightly, or it says in verse 1, it says, Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's who's going to abide in the tabernacle. That's who's going to draw nigh to God. Someone who speaks the truth in his heart. Amen. You know, we all can say to God, and you know, we can skip the most important part of our prayer life, and that's getting right. That's getting right with God. Because if you truly get alone with God, God begins to show you areas where you're weak in. And when he allows you to show that, then he can remove that iniquity from your heart, and your prayer can really be heard. Amen. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we blind spots. You know, you ever drive your car and you're driving away and you trust your side mirrors, don't you? But you have to be careful. There's a blind spot there. There's a blind spot. Because if you trust your side mirror, you don't look over your shoulder, you're going to get in an accident one of these days. You see, I'm trying to educate you in driving. But the thing about it here is, you need to know that in your Christian life, there's blind spots. You don't even see them. But God sees them, amen. Go to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And notice what David says. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There is blind spots in all of our lives. We don't even see them. I guarantee you, your wife or your husband probably sees them. Your kids probably see them, but you probably don't see them. And you know, when they're pointed out to you, you don't really like it. But if you get alone with God and you have a solid Christian closet life, God will show you them. And you will go, oh, I didn't realize. I didn't realize I was blind in that one area and so forth like that. And you know, all your kids are in your family. It's just a reflection God's trying to show you through your kids, through your family, through your circumstances, that there are certain areas of your life that you may not have seen, and you probably think you're doing fine. But the Lord, he shines the truth in your heart so that you can see it for yourself. You know, the Lord's not concerned with big, polished prayers. He just wants a broken and contrite heart. He wants truth in the inward man. Go to Psalms 51, please. Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Time is going super fast tonight. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm not even halfway there. But Psalm 51, please. Psalms 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, David here is repenting. He's repenting because of a terrible sin he got into with Bathsheba earlier on. And he's saying the first thing the Lord requires is truth in the inward part of me. Amen. Just in the inward part of me. He doesn't want a big polished prayer. He just wants truth. Amen. You've got to get on God's level. Amen. And when you get on God's level, you realize that he's right, you're wrong. That's just end of story. That's just the way the Lord is. And that's the way we need to understand that in our prayer life. You know, truth is being in agreement with God. You know, Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, as a husband and wife, you walk together because you're in agreement. And that's why you see, that's the idea of marriage. Amen. But go to Psalms 85, please. Psalms 85. Psalms 85, verse 10. Psalms 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I like that. You know, when there's truth and there's just a mercy, just like the two men that went up in the temple, one a Pharisee and one a publican, and he just beat upon his breast and said, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me." And he says that man went up to his house more righteous than the Pharisee. Amen. Just mercy and truth have made each other, or righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And that is the basis of truth. God will meet you when you're truthful with him. Amen. Search him in truth. Amen. Allow him to correct you. It says in Psalm 68, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know that word regard, that's how to have respect for. Amen. To hold something. And when I have something in my heart, and I'm holding on to that, and I have respect for that, it says the Lord's not going to hear you. Amen. Just allow the Lord to search your heart, where he removes that thing from you. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit, he says he's the Spirit of all truth. He searches the inward part of you. And then, go back to Jeremiah 29 again, please. Jeremiah 29. Search him with all your heart. Now this is the key here. This is the key to understanding this verse. You know, Jeremiah 29 again. And it says in verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. Not some half-hearted prayer, amen, but with all your heart. That means every ounce of your being is in that prayer. You know, the very, very first commandment. Go to Matthew 22, please. Matthew 22. The very first commandment is summarized in Matthew 22. And it says this. In Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And he said, this is the first and great commandment. Then he goes on to the second. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But you know, your neighbor could be your worst enemy, could be your worst nightmare. That could be your neighbor. Just be thankful that you have good neighbors, amen. But the Bible says that if you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, you'll be able to love your worst enemy in the same way, amen. Sometimes we forget, we have a shallow walk with God, and then when it comes to someone upsetting us, or someone does something to us, we try to rebel and stuff against that. And it's because, first of all, we don't love him with all our hearts. Amen. So the key is, in verse 37, to love him with all our hearts. That's the very first commandment. Amen. And then, also, you know, the way you got saved, the way I got saved, is the same way you got saved. It says in Romans 10:9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with all thine heart, thou shalt be saved. It's the same way you grow your Christian life. You seek him with all your heart, amen. Not a half-hearted day or two thing, but just faithfully. You know, there's very few Christians who will go day in and day out, go into the closet and seek the Lord, get alone with God. You know, it's wonderful to pray with your family. It's wonderful to pray with your kids. But there better be a time where we just get alone with God. Just allow him to shine that spotlight in our hearts. Amen. And just to seek him with all your heart. That is the very, very first commandment. And then seek him continually. Psalms 105, please. Psalms 105. Most Christians in their Christian life, they start off so good. Or we kind of go to a men's retreat and we get all revived, get all excited about the Word of God. But then a couple of weeks later, and we're back to the same old situation. It's just, that's just human nature. Psalms 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Amen. We need to just determine once and for all, He is worthy. Amen. You ought to read Revelations 4 and 5 and just see what's going on in heaven. Just see what's going on around the throne. Seeing the 4 and 24 elders, the four beasts guarding the throne, and they're all saying there's only one theme in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's the only theme. All worthy, all praise goes to Him. And you know, Jesus in His prayer, He says, as in heaven, so in earth. That just needs to be the way down here as well, where we would seek Him with all our hearts. Amen. And it says here, we would seek Him and His strength. Seek Him evermore. You know, John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed in Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You know, some people openly quit on God. Let me just show you John chapter 6. Jesus here is saying some hard stuff because He's going to the cross. And, you know, people loved Him when He was doing the miracles, when He was doing all those different things. They loved Him when He was doing all those miracles and stuff. But when He comes to the cross, there's going to be a great falling away. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 54, Jesus says something that's kind of like a hard saying. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the disciples here are going on, what's going on here? I mean, we see the full story, so we understand. But they honestly didn't know what was going on. Amen? And it says then in verse 60, many therefore disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And I just want to jump down a few verses. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus became unpopular. Amen. And then in verse 68 it says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we... Oh no, sorry, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You know, when times get hard, will you also go away? That's what Jesus is saying. And verse 68, then Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. And we really need to believe that. You know, some people openly quit in God, but then there's other people. And, do you know, we might have all the actions of a Christian. We might even be in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, even Wednesday. But if you were to look at our prayer life maybe publicly is grand, but our prayer life in private is dry as toast. I believe that to be so a lot of times in Christianity. And in fact, we have quit God in our prayer life. And we need to get back to an understanding that these promises are real. The Bible says no matter who you are, black or white, the Bible says no matter what your situation is, if you seek Him with all your heart, you will find Him. Amen. And the Bible says we just seek Him continually. You know, just go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Just a few more verses. Of course, Pastor Craig used to say that too. Luke chapter 11, and verses 1 says this, and it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place, When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And again, then he goes through the Lord's Prayer here. But the thing I want you to see here is verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is a journey to come to me, and I have nothing set before me. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, it's after hours, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And verse 8, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, of his troublesomeness, of his perseverance, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. We need to persevere, amen. There needs to be a continue desire in our heart just to seek God. Not just a one day or two thing, amen. You know, sometimes I've gotten along with God and I really try to get right with God the best way I knew how. But a couple of weeks later, and I find myself, I saw him for a few days and then I went back to my old way. And that's the tragedy many times of many Christians. And you know, when it comes to living the Christian life, we can't live it because we don't have his power inside of us. Amen. We don't have that. We haven't drawn from the wealth of life. Amen. A lot of times in Christianity, that is the case. We sought him, but we didn't continue seeking him. You know, the promises here is that you will find him if you seek him with all your heart. But it needs to be with all your heart. Amen. Every ounce of your being. Sometimes, you know, when we pray, our prayer, it seems like God's not there. But we need to persevere. We need to say, okay, God, but you promised you would show up. Amen? We need to get bold with God like that, where we examine our hearts, and if we are truthful with him, we say, Lord, you promised to show up, and I believe you are going to show up. Maybe you have to wait. And sometimes you're praying, and in the first 5 minutes, you're just getting to the place where you can pray. Amen? That's called praying true. The old Christians believed in praying true, where you prayed, and sometimes the mind was, you get down on your knees, and you're carnal, you're fleshly, but then you believe in by faith, and all of a sudden, God shows up, and the presence of God Almighty shows up, and you believe him with all your heart, and prayer time becomes sweet to the soul, amen. That's how we need to be in our prayer life, where we seek him with all our hearts. For most things, it is most important thing in our life. You know, it's more important than the air we breathe, our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Where we just seek him with all our hearts, day in, day out. You know, when times of trouble show up in your life, and they will, you will have a confidence towards him because you saw him at times where you're on the hilltop and now you're going to seek him on the valley. Amen? To know that you have met with God when you are reluctant, or what I'm trying to say is, trying to read my notes, didn't understand them, but what I'm trying to say is that when you really meet with God, you're not going to leave that place of prayer too easy. You're going to be reluctant to leave because the very presence of heaven comes and shines on you. Amen? That's what real prayer is. You know, our prayer is supposed to be life-changing, but a lot of times we pray in the flesh. We're going through the motions. And God has never gotten our whole heart. Amen? Because we're just doing it. We're going through the motion. And we live a shallow Christian life. Prayer is supposed to be life-changing. Do we really seek him? Do we really seek him in faith? Maybe just a little bit of faith, but that faith will grow where God desires to have great faith. Seek him in his presence, amen. Seek him in truth. Seek him with all your heart. All your heart. Make sure you are honest. Make sure you're on the level with God, because he sees you 24/7. He knows exactly what you're up to. Seek him continually. Don't give up. You know, sometimes we seek God and we have a great burden in our heart to see someone saved, and we seek him and we go through week after week seeking God, and then we give up on someone. You know, that might be the only prayer that's going to heaven for that particular soul. Amen. And we need to understand that your prayer is precious. Let me just go to one more verse, Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. I don't fully understand this verse, but I like it anyway. Does that make sense? Revelation 5, verse 8. Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Amen. Our prayer means something. When we seek him with all our heart, it means something. It goes to heaven. Amen. And somehow the angels are able to work in our behalf. I don't fully understand that, but I just know that it works. It works when you seek him with all your heart. You know, the Lord wants you, and the Lord puts affliction in your life so that you would seek him. Amen. It says there in Psalms 119, it says, in faithfulness that he... let me just look at that. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Amen. It's good. Everything that's going on in your life is good. Because God wants you to get alone with him and seek him with all your heart. And sometimes, you know, we've got a fleshly nature. Sometimes it's going to take lots of afflictions in our life before we finally, like Jacob, get on our knees and go, oh God, I need your presence. That's what the Lord wants from our life, where we really get along with God and the burdens of this life get so heavy and we go, oh God, I need your presence, and now I'm willing to seek you with all our heart. And you know, wouldn't it be better if we just developed an attitude before God brought the afflictions in our life, before God brought the trials in our life, where we would just seek him, and we'd have it wouldn't be as rough as a Christian life as it's supposed to be. I think we just need to seek him with all our hearts. God will hear our prayer. You can take your burdens, you can take your cares, you can take those things that are heavy on your heart, and you can bring them to the very throne of God, and he can help you. Just one last scripture, and I'll finish. 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings. Second Kings, verse 19, please. 2 Kings 19. This is a story here. I just want to finish with this. Where Hezekiah, there's a situation in Hezekiah's life where there's a deep burden in his heart. Babylon, a general called Ramshaket is coming, and he's saying, Hezekiah, give it up. You're finished. What Lily says, you're goosed. But what I'm trying to say is, he was finished. Amen. In 2 Kings 19, it says he gets a letter. And that letter is very, very heavy on his heart. And if you read 2 Kings 19, he just humbled himself. He's broken. Amen. He's broken. But then he go on, and it says, Hezekiah begins to pray. It says he begins to seek the Lord. And verse 14 says this, and Hezekiah received the letter in the hands of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said unto the Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear open, Lord, thine eyes, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria has destroyed the nations and their hands. And he goes on. The thing I want you to know is he takes his burden. He takes that thing that's overwhelming in his life, and he spreads it before the Lord. He gives it to the Lord, and he walks away from that prayer time knowing that God's going to do something. Amen. Knowing that God's going to do something. Amen. Thank you, Brother Martin.